Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Hey, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. I'm getting a text message from my dear friend right now. I'll be with you in about 2 minutes from Daniel Seckham. We'll be with us in about 2 minutes all the way from Australia. Well, good morning. It's Wednesday. It is March 4th. And I remember my friend Vijay Sadat in Escondido, California, came to our church one day and said, "Remember, Pastor, today is March 4th, and that's what we're to do, March 4th, and that's what's happening. I want to say good morning to Sharon over on YouTube. Good morning to you, Sharon Evans. God bless you, and welcome to all of our friends on YouTube and Facebook and Blog Talk Radio and OmegaRadio.org. For those of you that are just kind of finding your way to the ministry, OmegaRadio.org, that's Alpha and Omega, Omega Radio, is a 24/7 internet radio station. My dear friend who led me to faith in Jesus Christ, Paul Petit, 3 years ago was praying and seeking God about this radio ministry. And he was out in prayer and the Lord showed him the Omega symbol. And Paul came to me and to Kyle and said, "I believe the name of the radio station should be Omega Radio." Without any other thought in mind, we did that. And so we are Omega Radio 24/7, and we are broadcasting around the world everywhere there is internet. So Omega Radio 24/7, and we come live for 1 hour Monday through Friday. My beloved wife, Patricia Joy, has a deliverance roundtable discussion, so she's available to be heard every single day, Monday through Friday, right after this live radio station. And then here we are wanting to interview some wonderful people. And every Wednesday, we have our dear brother, Daniel Seckham. It's an amazing story how Daniel became a part of this work and has been to the United States and has been launched all over the world. He has a great ministry. It's called Israel, Islam, and End Times. And he is joining us right now. Let me bring him into the radio broadcast. Good morning, Daniel. How are you today, sir?
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Well, it's great to be with you. I know it's late for you, 2 o'clock in the morning in Australia. So let's get right into it, Daniel. We're looking at Super Tuesday from last night. I was looking at it today, and it seems like it was just so flat, so predictable. So, push the button and you hear the sounds. But that's just one thing going on in our country right now with this facade of, well, it's not a facade. It's really an attempt to bring people up. Joe Biden grabbed the wrong woman, called his wife his sister's wife, and then made sure that it was all switched. Your thoughts about that? And then the Nashville, Tennessee, 25 people dead. You have been in that area. I know when you were out here in the United States, massive tornadoes ripped through the region at that point. Give us a little, you know, sign of what's going on here today. What do you see happening?
Well, first of all, in regard to Super Tuesday, a lot of predictability going on there. You can almost kind of guarantee that the Democrats were going to try and do anything that they possibly could to prevent Bernie from being the nominee. Yeah. And I think that's what we've seen. Now, regarding Nashville, tragedy and completely unexpected. I've been to Nashville about three times, and the place where it's devastated, which is just east of downtown, horrific devastation. And if you've seen the pictures of the second airport, not the main airport, but the second airport, incredible devastation. There's a whole bunch of private planes that have just been scrunched all together. Mm-hmm. It's incredible viewing. So, yeah, there's a lot going on, a lot of upheaval going on. Here in Australia, gee, we've had some really unusual. We've had a lot of panic buying going on. In fact, my wife rang me today to tell me that she could not, being in the main department store where she went, there was not any toilet paper. There was no toilet paper. There was no a lot of the other major, a lot of the other primary survival things were not there. So luckily where we live is a fairly small town and there's a small corner shop. So we were able to get our hands in some toilet paper then. But even then it was still, they were basically jacked the price up and they were going down to their last batch of toilet paper. So wow. It's just incredible, you know, and it's, there is a lot of hilarity in the process because Australians, we make a lot of fun of very difficult situations. And so all the memes came through. It was pretty hilarious, you know. But it just goes to show that no one is really immune from panic buying. We were only talking last week about the fact how the Italians were experiencing panic buying and how many of the supermarket shelves were empty in the supermarkets in Italy. Well, it's happening here in Australia big time. And even in places where, you know, all over the country, even in places in regional centers, like regional towns. So it just goes to show that, gosh, you know, interesting times.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. I know that the whole coronavirus, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to let us know the truth. And when people weaponize it for political purposes or for whatever agendas that are out there, what has the Holy Spirit revealed to you about this particular coronavirus? Is it just a man-made political tool or some other mechanism made up by man? Or is God in the midst of this? Is it to be quieted down, don't panic, it's organic kind of thing? You know, there's a fungus among us type of stuff, but where are we with it? I mean, it's very interesting because there's on the left here, you hear the panic buttons, you hear the warnings, and what are you getting from the Holy Spirit?
Well, the main thing that I'm getting from the Holy Spirit is that, you know, I mean, Jesus warned in Luke 21, it says that men's hearts will fail in regard to the things that are going on. So, I mean, the context is that is the roaring and the tossing of the winds, of the waves, sorry. But there is, we need to expect that there will be tumult, that there would be upheaval, that men's heart will will basically be overwhelmed with fear.
With fear.
And as we discussed last week, this is all part of the pattern of the birth pains. And so these are going to become more and more intense and closer together. So we're certainly going to see that. I mean, disease and pestilence is all part and parcel of it. And especially that we will, I would imagine, we'll see more of it in the days to come. Now, it is still yet to be seen whether the coronavirus would actually be far worse than it is projected to be now. I mean, we're just going to have to wait and see. Some are saying that it'll all be over by April. Others are saying that it will be much more protracted than that. And they're saying that millions will be affected. So what is interesting, though, is that the flu, the death rate of a season of flu is fewer than 1%, whereas the coronavirus, the fatality rate for the coronavirus currently at 3.4% globally. So that's more than the death rate for the seasonal flu, and it's far more contagious as well. And it's completely different in its structure and how it's made up. In fact, the way that it basically glues itself to human to the human system is very similar to the way that AIDS does it. So there is a lot of different elements, you know, and whereas we have built up antibodies to the common flu, we don't really have any resistance to the coronavirus in our bodies. So it is highly contagious in that regard. There's a lot of different challenges that we have. And again, you know, it just seems it was yesterday when we had the bird flu, and then we had Ebola. Again, they were birth pains. And then again, the whole coronavirus, the COVID-19 is just another part of the birth pains. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how it all plays out ahead. Now, one thing I should mention is that, you know, Friedrich Hayek had this really interesting quote, and he said, "Emergencies have always been the pretext on which the safeguards of individual liberty have been eroded." And I think he is absolutely correct. And this is why we need to be careful in regard to emergencies, so-called emergencies, because they can be the pretext in which freedoms are actually taken away from us. So we need to be on our guard in regard to that. We need to be careful in regard to the true motivations that are going on behind the scenes. Another quote is by H.L. Mencken. He said that the urge to save humanity is almost always a false front for the urge to rule. Wow. Yeah. So again, it's just another, this is really the human nature, you know, with the fact that the people who really want to control, they would do anything and everything. And even if it means conjuring up a so-called emergency in the effort to seek control, because people want safety. You know, if you keep harping on about this emergency and that their safety is threatened, then people will cry out for safety. And who are they going to cry out to for safety? Well, they're going to cry out to the state. Give us more protection. Give us more protection. And the state expands in response to that.
It is very interesting. Last week, we were told that there were, when the stock market dipped, I mean, for those 2 days when it just fell, there were $4 trillion of wealth that were wiped out in the United States alone, $6 trillion around the world, $4 trillion. I mean,
wow.
That's a nation that's going, you better do something. And so, you know, the politicizing of this, don't panic, don't worry, we've got it under control on the one side. And on the other side, well, wait a second, now 10 million Americans could be affected by this, but don't get out there and don't panic anybody. So you wonder what side you're on. It's a good thing to be founded upon the rock in the kingdom of heaven. We were talking about these unstable times. When we begin to see instability in our government and our markets and our finances and our health system and all these things, that's only a sign that the collapse will come. And we're now hiring all the engineers to try to keep everything together. And what do you think? Are we on the right track? Will it be held together? Or are you seeing more of a biblical prophetic unfolding of end time events where people may be a bit unaware are being led further and further into the trap that Jesus said one day would come upon the whole earth and they would not escape?
Well, Jesus himself said that be careful or other because the day will come upon you like a trap. So he did say that people are going to be caught off guard. So I think there would be a time of relative peace, as the Bible says. The Bible says that there will be a relative time of peace, and then all of a sudden disaster will come upon them. Now, just remember the atmosphere before in the lead up to September 11. Nobody knew that that such a spectacular disaster could unfold in the heart of New York City, you know, and in Washington, D.C. Nobody anticipated that. So, you know, and I've always seen September 11 as a bit of a foreshadowing, like a glimpse that's pointing to a more of a greater catastrophe. Really, September 11 was God saying, are you going to wake up? Are you going to repent? Or are you going to continue to rebel? And so
and we kind of made our decision, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, God is always looking for an opportunity in which he can extend mercy, in which he can do that. But we need to understand that the patience of God is not limitless. The patience of God is eventually going to run out. And so we just need to position ourselves so that when all these things come to a head, that we don't need to stress out, we don't need to be worried, we can be completely at peace knowing that when things are supposedly falling apart, things are actually falling into place.
Well said. Well said. So what's going on in Israel? We have Netanyahu just won a major election in his life, but they're saying it's not enough to stay in power. What's going on from the Israeli connection?
Yeah, so the exit polls are very strong for Likud, Benjamin Netanyahu's right-wing Likud party. So he basically is now in a position where he has to be doing a lot of wheeling and dealing. So he's negotiating with a lot of centrists, mainly the centrists, in trying to sway them to come across to his – to form his nationalist party, government. Now, this is it's going to pose some problems now that he doesn't have the numbers, because it might mean that he might have to compromise. He might have to compromise by bringing in some people that would basically blunt his agenda. So you know that he wants to annex certain parts of Judea and Samaria. So that could actually be compromised if he brings in certain voices that are opposed to that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the days ahead. I believe that he will form government, but it's really about how to what cost will he have to bend over backwards to convince people to become part of his government.
Well, amen to that. So the Israeli connection, again, that's another centerpiece of time. That's another part of the puzzle. And I think a lot of Christians are waiting for that moment in the Middle East, particularly in Jerusalem, Israel, for a temple to be rebuilt. And, you know, that would be such a sign to Christians around the world when that happens. There's been so much talk about, well, the 70 AD event was the final event, but there, in your understanding, in all prophecy that you've learned through the years in your life, are you convinced that there will be an actual temple rebuilt for the Jewish people in the Middle East in our lifetime?
Absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt. And anyone who basically says, you know, that's not going to happen, really is not is disconnected from the actual really disconnected by reality with what's actually happening in the land of Israel. In fact, if they saw just how advanced the plans are that the Temple Institute have gone to, the length that the Temple Institute have gone to in drawing up the plans for the third temple. I mean, you can actually even go and have a look at the priestly robes. You know, they've got all these different elements that have all ready to go, including the red heifer. So all the sacrificial utensils and things like that, the Sanhedrin and all the and all the priests, it's all ready to go. In fact, a lot of the materials that will be used for the building of the third temple are all precast. I mean, that's already done. All they would need would be a crane, basically, to put all these pieces together, and it will be up fairly quickly, quicker than you knew it. You would know. So I would say that I have a bunch of different scenarios in which it could come about. It could come about through an agreement that's made through the Antichrist. It could actually be built as a result of a international incident. It could happen if they are put in between a rock and a hard place. In fact, if they've got nowhere to go and they're not making any progress with negotiating with the nations around them, then they might as well go ahead and do it anyway. They say, well, you know, it's a... So it might be in an act of desperation that they do it. One thing is for sure is that there is no doubt that they are actually going to go ahead and build this building. And so this is not going to be Ezekiel's temple. Now, when people went to the Temple Institute and they said, well, why don't you base it on Ezekiel's temple? And they said, we can't base it on Ezekiel's temple. And they said, why? Because Ezekiel's temple is way too big. In fact, if they were to build Ezekiel's temple or attempt to build it, it would go from the Temple Mount all the way out to the Mount of Olives. That's how big the Ezekiel's temple is. It's a massive structure, huge. So I would imagine that that temple could only possibly be built from the moment that Jesus comes back and there are massive topographical and geographical changes to Jerusalem. And we know that the prophets say that Jerusalem will be lifted up on a high mountain, like a massive mountain that the psalmist says will be the envy of all other mountains. And Zechariah 6 is clear that the Messiah, that the branch, is the one who will build the temple. So he will build the temple. And I have no doubt in my mind that it will literally be Ezekiel's temple. And another reason why I believe that Ezekiel's temple will definitely be built and it will be a literal building is because there is more architectural details, more elaborate architectural details that has gone into describing the Ezekiel's temple than there were for the building of Moses' tabernacle. So the architectural details are much more detailed than even the architectural details for Moses' tabernacle. So I think that's really saying something. I think the architectural details that we see in the book of Ezekiel are going to be followed to the letter, and it will be Yeshua that will be doing it.
Amen. Amen. And so we believe that too. We believe this temple that will be built in the book of Revelation will ultimately be useful to the Antichrist. We know that from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But it's a sign of the times. I mean, when we see that, it's just waiting. There seems to be anticipation, Daniel, in the religion of Islam, the religion of Judaism, the religion of Christianity. And around the world, there seems to be such anticipation. And we as Christians who have been born again through faith in Jesus Christ and have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, we're kind of like mulling around right now in this 11th hour going, okay, well, what is my part? What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to be just watching what's going on in the news media? Am I supposed to be, you know, preparing for the things that may come? You know, what is my part? And I was reading this morning in the book of Acts chapter 9. What an incredible story. Or maybe it was Acts chapter 8, the latter part where Philip is being led by the Holy Spirit and he's meeting a man in the desert on the way to Gaza. This is Philip going to meet the Ethiopian eunuch. And he's the treasurer of Candace. I mean, this is a big deal. And yet the Spirit of God tells him to go. And without hesitation, he's gone. And he's ministering out of Isaiah chapter 53. And that that eunuch goes on his way after being baptized. He's going to affect change in his government. And so what is it that we should be doing? I believe we should be really pressing in to learn how to hear the voice of God again. I mean, if God's got a billion of his kids on the planet, why can't the Spirit of God begin to speak to all of his kids to do certain things, to be on assignment, rather than just sitting around waiting for something to happen? Your thoughts?
Yeah, this is all part of stocking up on the oil.
Yeah.
Stocking up on the oil. Now, remember Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins, the wise virgins. What were they doing? They were stocking up on oil. This is, you know, and this is really important to understand. They, the wise virgins, but what does oil represent? Well, oil obviously represents the Holy Spirit, as it always throughout Scripture. So there are numerous examples throughout Scripture in which oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So here's the thing. For those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God.
Amen.
Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. If there is ever a time for us to be led by the Spirit, it's in the time that we are living in right now. You know, this is the time in which we must renew our mind. This is the time in which we must sensitize our ears to hear the voice of the Shepherd. This is why I believe that we are in a time where we need to cry out for wisdom. We need to ask God for wisdom. Now, what does James say? James chapter 5 says, if any man lacks wisdom, he should ask God and God will give generously without finding fault. So we need to ask God for wisdom. We need to ask for his direction and he will gladly give it. He will gladly give us wisdom, especially in the days that we're living in. And so we can trust him that that he will answer our prayer. And I pray all the time in regard to this. My prayer to the Lord is, Father, when all this comes to a head, I pray that you will look after me and my family, that you'll take care of us. And I pray that almost every day. And that should be the prayer of all of us to pray that, you know, when the time comes, when the
darkness, you know, comes and we can't work anymore.
That's it. Exactly. We need to work while we have daylight because night is coming. And so we just need to continue. We have to position ourselves. I think that's the best way of phrasing it. Positioning ourselves is really, really important. So, you know, your extremely highly paid football players train and they all have their different positions. You know, I mean, your football players have different positions to our football players. But here's the thing. The football player knows that he has to be in position if he's going to make the game to work, you know. So the quarterback has to be in the right position. You know, the linebackers have to be in the right position. You know, your forwards have to be in the right position because if they're out of position, they can completely mess up the whole game. So this is why it's so important. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Be in the Word. Stay in the Word. Renew your mind with the Word of God. Get the Word of God on the inside of you. Because the more of the Word of God you have on the inside of you, the more Jesus lives on the inside of you. And so, and when you're doing that and you've got a sweet relationship with the Lord, you've got nothing to worry about. You can be completely at peace. You know, no matter if entire nations fall apart you know, you can be at complete peace knowing that you are walking with the Lord, and you've got no care in the world because he's taking care of you.
Amen. You know, this is a confirmation of what the Spirit is saying everywhere. The kingdom of God. We're so American centric. We're so Western centric or democracy centric. God's people need to become kingdom centric. I mean, everything about our lives is the kingdom, and the kingdom is an unshakable foundation. In a turbulent time, we can really rest and continue to walk, which means we can continue to live and do what God has called us to do. What I loved about the story of Philip today, Daniel, was that his quick obedience. I mean, the angel of the Lord spoke to him, and he did exactly what was said without an argument. Then the Spirit said to him to do something, and he just did it. And he must have been tuned into the voice of God. And right now, living on this planet, for God's children, my sheep know my voice. And people are pressing in. I want to know, how do you hear the voice of God? And people write their books and they give their formulas on how to hear the voice of God. Listen, it requires walking with him, communing with him in prayer, and talking with God and learning and asking, I want to hear your voice. I want to know your voice. Do you think God does not want to reveal his voice to his own kids? He wants to instruct every one of us what we should be doing right now. And it's interesting, as we're now in the month of March, we're 23 days away, or 22, from the first day of the first month of the new year in the Hebrew calendar, in the economy of heaven, which means we're not that far from Passover. And so the time of winter for God's people and darkness and coldness comes to an end. You're already, I think, in the summertime. But for us over here in the United States, we're going to come into our spring. And the first thing we're going to meet up with, Passover. And again, this is a feast of the Lord. This is a time where there's a revving up. There's accelerations. And we're expecting April to be a pretty amazing month. Are you kind of feeling the same way? Are you excited about the coming of Passover? What's going on with your thinking in that?
Yeah. Well, our summer has just come to an end officially.
Oh, already?
Which I'm really sad. Don't talk to me about it. It's depressing. But we're now in our autumn. So we're seeing that, I guess, that shift in regard to change, the seasonal changes. But yeah, it's not far away. In fact, the reason why, see, my birthday is on the 15th of April, and I know that because that's your tax day.
Yeah.
It's also the day where kind of Passover kind of falls around. So there are two really significant dates on the Jewish calendar, and that's around Passover, and the other one is around the Feast of Tabernacles. You'll find that a lot of the biblical events, you'll find that a lot of prophetic events will fall on either one of those two, with the exception of the ninth of Elul, in regard to how the fall of the temple and how that there was three occasions in which that happened on the exact same day. But in regard to prophetic fulfillments and prophetic events, you'll find that a lot of that will happen along those dates in regard to the either Passover in the spring or Tabernacles in the fall. So yeah, it's coming up quickly, and just with everything that's going on in the world, it's going to be really interesting to see if something does actually unfold on either one of those two particular dates. So
yeah,
looking forward to it.
Yeah, very interesting time, no doubt. And I am certainly, you know, being in my spirit, kind of awakening to the reality that Passover is coming, not just because we want to host a Passover meeting or something to that effect, but there are so many things going on in the world right now with the coronavirus, with the epidemic of locust invasions in different parts of the world, and wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes. And, you know, 25 people died, you know, yesterday in these two vicious tornadoes. And, you know, we're just going to be coming into the tornado season again. And, you know, this cosmic clashing, this turbulent times that we're living in. And it's interesting to me that it was a climate kind of like that in the Egyptian Empire with the locust plagues and so a lot of other stuff going on and people dying. And, you know, that this is the climate. And you wonder, how close are we getting? You know, how tuned into that should we be? And Daniel, one quick thing. Maybe you could speak into this. I don't know. I don't put a lot of stock in dreams and, you know, what we call visions. And yet I think a lot of God's children have dreams and visions that are very true. And I've been going back, you know, maybe 28, 29 years now to a series of dreams when I was just a brand new pastor. I mean, I had just come into the ministry and I was having dreams that to this day I remember like yesterday. And a couple of dreams I've had about 4 or 5 months ago, I was on Kerm Radio and I was on this radio station and I was sharing a dream. And in my dream, Joe Biden had won the election and I was in the hallway. It was full color, but he was terrified. And I was like, he won the election, but he inherited something dastardly. And all of a sudden, you would think by now he'd be out of this race. I mean, all the mistakes, all the stuff, his, you know, what went on in with his Hunter Biden, his son in the Ukraine and, you know, his quid pro quo. And but here he is winning last night. And I'm hoping again that that's a nightmare. But just as real as that dream was going back, there, I saw about 29 years ago that the time would come that the military of the United States of America had blocked off this country. The borders were shut down and nobody was coming in and nobody was going out. And within that climate, the next part of the dream was God took me into a church in Los Angeles, a mega church. And when I was in there, he began to show the corruption that was going on in the church, let alone the rest of the country, because the country had been inundated with all kinds of wicked, diabolical, you know, defilements and pollutions, and yet it was seeped into the church. And then the next part of the dream is when God showed me a university campus with all these different components and one person running around representing the harvest, and they were all trying to win these people into their camp kind of thing. And then the final part of the series of dreams was being taken up into space and all of a sudden looking out at a dark earth and a few little lights on here and there. So I'm watching right now and I'm reading, here we are 29 years later, about, you know, don't, you know, American people, don't be flying into Italy. Watch out going into Asia. Maybe we're going to shut the borders down over here. Do you ever foresee a time like that where we could actually see the U.S. borders totally shut down, being protected by military powers? However, our own inward corruption bringing defilement, and then, you know, things just kind of getting to that last moment. And then that lights out. You know, they're saying that an EMP will take out 30 million people in the first 30 days. Your thoughts?
It's certainly certainly plausible that something along those lines could take place. What I think is interesting is that God is sending warnings and sending events in an effort to call us to repent. But what I think is interesting is that the world is taking these events, which God intends to be a warning, and the world is saying that, this is because of climate change and we need to get rid of capitalism. And we need to, in other words, they're doubling down. So when God sends a warning or a judgment, instead of the world repenting, instead they are completely doubling down and becoming even more brazen and becoming even more wicked in shaking their fist at God, which really falls into line with what you find in the book of Revelation, where it says when God poured out the bowls of wrath, you know, you would think that they would repent, but instead of repenting, they were completely hard-hearted. They were not repenting. This is exactly what we're seeing happening at the moment. So it just exacerbates God's judgment. So instead of repenting, sorry for introducing these really wicked things, that instead they're basically interpreting those events as an excuse to pursue more wickedness. So it's funny how, yeah, it's funny how that works, but that's, yeah.
Yeah. Amen to that. So again, we're 11th hour people, and I don't think there's anybody that would balk at the idea, the potentiality, the possibility that we are living already within the context of that 11th hour. And God has some work for his people to do. And I want to go back again and say to my brothers and my sisters and the people that are out there today listening to the broadcast and watching, that the most important thing in your life right now, according to your faith, I mean, definitely your faith is everything. It's the most precious thing, according to 1 Peter. It's more powerful than gold, though it be tried in the fire, right? Your faith is everything to be found in praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. But within the context of your faith is hearing the voice of God saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Go over here and do this. I believe kingdom events are about to transpire all over the world, because there is a hunger growing in the heart, particularly in the army of the youth, the young people that are getting born again right now, that are so bored with the present structure of man-made religion and church eonity, so to speak. These are young men and women that just have had an encounter with Jesus, that want to break out and go and do what they read in the Bible. And yet there's resistance in much of the, you know, mainline structure that, well, that doesn't happen anymore. Don't expect to be led by the Holy Spirit. You got to be careful about what voice you hear. It could be your own imagining. So rather than encouraging people in their faith to press in and to tune into the frequency of God's voice that says, go here and do this. And we have the Bible's loaded. You know, he tells that one man, get up. I want you to go and anoint Saul, and I want you to bring him in. Right. So this is a time to really hear the voice of God, Daniel. It is important so that we're not just spewing out our own opinions, our own ideas, our own, you know, thoughts about things. This is a time to hear the voice of God.
Yeah, it is. It really, really is. And I think God is being gracious in the time that we're living in. He's giving us the opportunity in which we can prepare. You know what it reminds me of? And I'm so, it's interesting how you put that up, how you put pestilence and plagues. Because it reminds me of the book of Exodus. I think when you look at the Passover story, there are so many colorations of the Passover story to the last days that we are walking into, that we're moving into. You know, God in his grace allowed Egypt to go through 7 years of great prosperity, of great abundance. Now, there was a purpose in that. And it's not, I used to think there was just one purpose, but I think it's multi-layered. Now, the purpose for that was so that they could actually gather as much grain as that they possibly can in preparation for the coming famine. And I think in a certain sense, God is doing the same thing for us in regards to that there's going to be a period of peace. And I think in many ways, the world is kind of like compared to the West per se, sorry. The Western world is kind of like a type of Egypt, if I'm allowed to go there.
Of course.
But and so we have this Trump who's kind of like the good king who gave favor to Joseph. And when you really think about it, I mean, you've got almost about approximately the same size of Jews who make up the population of Israel living in America. Mm-hmm. So there's that correlation there as well. So it's almost as if, you know, this good Pharaoh is going to basically going to oversee a period of great prosperity and economic flourishing. But that's going to come to an end at one point. And when that end comes, I think it'll happen abruptly. And the Dems have already said that if they ever get into power, then the first thing that they're going to do is basically reverse every single one of Trump's executive orders and reverse all the things that he's done, all the great strides that Trump has made in regard to the economy, that Trump has made in regard to trade, in regard to foreign policy, in regard to his pro-life agenda. The Dems are going to completely reverse every single one of them. And, you know, just see how the markets reacted. You know, the markets, when it looks as if Bernie Sanders is going to become president, you watch what the markets do. Let me tell you what they'll do. They will tank. I mean, if Bernie Sanders wins the election, the economy will be completely destroyed. There's no question about that, because he's made it quite clear what he wants to do to the economy. I mean, he basically wants to upend the complete system. He wants a revolution. That's exactly what he wants. That's what Bernie Sanders wants. And so if that ever happens, and gosh, you would go from a period of great prosperity and economic flourishing and military strength to a period of economic, you basically will see such a massive contrast. And but here's the thing: when that happens, see, here's what the left do. Whenever they have bad fruit as a result of their own decisions, they don't take responsibility for it. They always blame the opposite side of the aisle for it. You know, what happened when Rome was on fire? Who did Nero blame?
Mm-hmm.
Nero blamed, yeah, he blamed the Christians. And this is the thing, you know, when the left get into power and they completely upend the economy and things go from bad to worse, who are they going to blame? They're not going to blame themselves. No. They're going to say, well, it's the Christians. It's Trump's legacy. You know, it's hilarious, because Obama said that the economy would never reach 3% GDP growth. And yet the GDP growth reached 4.3% GDP.
Hmm.
And now all of a sudden, President Obama is trying to take credit for the economy. He's trying to say, well, it was me. I started it. But, you know, it's so funny. But when if the Dems ever get to power and the economy tanks, they're not going to say that, you know, it had anything to do with them. They're going to blame. And in fact, the more things will fall apart, the more they will say. And keep in mind, the media is basically an arm. It's basically the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party. Many of you already know that. And the media are going to try and basically push this as well, you know, and it's really not going to be a very nice picture as we move forward. I really would like it to be full of rainbows and fluffy clouds and unicorns, but it's not going to work out that way. It's going to be a period of great testing and great tribulation. And, you know, but here's one thing that Jesus said, and he promised this to the church in Philadelphia. And he said this, he says, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth.
Amen.
So that is not a regional thing that was isolated just to Philadelphia. No. This is talking about this testing that is going to happen to all the inhabitants of the earth. And he's saying that I will keep you from the hour of trial. That's not going to be the case of everybody. There are going to be some people that are going to be martyred. Revelation's quite clear that there will be people that will be, you know, as Revelation says, and I saw those who came out of the great tribulation, those who had been beheaded, so that we know that there will be some that will wear the martyr's crown, but there will be others that will basically be in the so-called Goshens. Now, here's another correlation that goes back to the Passover story. So there were these areas. Well, there was an area that God set aside called Goshen, and this is where the Israelites were able, God protected them from the plagues that he poured out upon the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see something very, very similar in the last days, where God is going to protect his people. He's going to pour out his wrath on the wicked, and the righteous are going to see God's judgment. Now, remember in, I think it's Genesis 18, I could be wrong, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. And remember that we know the story. There was an argument between Abraham's herdsman and Lot's herdsman, and Lot said, well, you know, Abraham said to Lot, well, you go wherever you want to go. And Lot looked down toward the plains of Zoar. He saw that it was well watered like the Garden of Eden. And he, what does the scripture say? It says that he pitched his tent near Sodom. That is where he pitched his tent, because he followed his eye. He was looking, you know, for whatever looked more flourishing to him. So that's where he went. And we know the story. God poured out his wrath upon Sodom and Gomorrah. He completely destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns. And the Bible says that Abraham looked down towards Sodom and he saw plumes of smoke. He saw big plumes of smoke coming up from Sodom. And I believe that the time will come when God's people who are in these areas of refuge will look out and see the plumes of smoke in which God has poured out his wrath upon the wicked. And this is why it's important that we need to be of the Abraham spirit. We need to carry that spirit of Abraham, and we need to be obedient where he wants us to be. We need to basically come out from the so-called Babylon, as it says, come out from her, have no part of her. And already we're noticing, we are very much aware of the cultural division that's going on, but the cultural division is actually transferring into a geographical division. You know, we have sanctuary cities where basically the left have basically got their own strongholds, their bastions of leftism. But you know what's another interesting development is that we now have 2A sanctuaries, Second Amendment sanctuaries. We now have sanctuaries for the unborn. And what we can see happening at the moment is that there is the cultural divide is causing God's people to leave these areas of liberalism and to move out into areas of people, freedom loving people. You know, an example is what's actually going on in California. There are scores of people who have left California, including yours truly, who have left California, and many of them are actually going to Texas and are moving into Texas. There are others that are moving into places, you know, another place is south of Nashville in Franklin. In fact, there's a lady in my church who basically her family left Northern California and went across to Franklin, Tennessee. So this is already happening. God is moving his people because he has earmarked the wicked for judgment. And that's what he's doing, and that's what's going to be unfolding in these last days.
Did you say you were moving to Texas?
I didn't say that.
I hope not. Because, you know, when you leave Australia, brother, you got to come to Arkansas. That's the Ark, man. All right, we got to make sure Daniel stays on track here. It's late over there. I can't have him saying things like he's going to Texas. Texas went with Joe Biden last night. You know what's so strange about Joe Biden's speech last night? I mean, I heard both the speeches, and again, it was like somebody hit the pay button. Yay! It was so dead. It was so predictable. Everything was. And Joe was, come on, we got to get out there and turn America around, and we got to get rid of those NRA gun rights, and we got to give abortion its free reign, and we got to support the homosexual community, and we got to bring back America. What are these people talking about? I mean, this is insanity. Guys believe it, Daniel.
Yeah, he's tapped Beto O'Rourke basically as his to go out and to disarm America. To disarm Americans. So basically, he's hired Beto O'Rourke. Remember what he said on the campaign trail? He said, hell yes, I'm going to take your AR-15. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. In fact, even his campaign, campaign came out with these T-shirts that says, hell yes, I'm going to take your AR-15. Yeah. So Joe Biden has appointed him to basically to take care of disarming America, disarming law-abiding citizens. Incredible. Now, basically, Biden is going to do to America what the Democrats did to Virginia. Now, what happened with Virginia? Well, Virginia, actually, the Democrats got elected on the immigrant vote. It was because of the immigrants that swept the Democrats to power. That's why they're so big on bringing in illegals. Because, you know, all the countries to the south of you are predominantly socialist countries. And that's why the left want to bring them in. They will bring them in, and of course they're going to vote socialist. They're going to vote left. So this is why the Democrats are so big in bringing as many of them in as they possibly can in giving them voting rights. It's not because of compassion. They don't have any compassion for the immigrants at all. Zero compassion. It's all about their voter base. And really, that says a lot, doesn't it? It says a lot that they will sell out their own country and basically pander to foreigners in order for them to attain power. It's pathetic.
Yeah.
But this is the spirit of lawlessness. Leftism and lawlessness go together hand in hand, peas and carrots. It's wherever you find leftism, you find lawlessness, because they don't believe in good and evil. Okay, they don't believe in the objective right and wrong. So they don't believe that, you know, the people who are prisoners, they're not prisoners because of bad life decisions. They are in jail because of an oppressive system. You know, this is why many hardcore leftists want to abolish prisons. You know, this is leftism and lawlessness go together hand in hand. And by the way, leftists hate the balanced power, how power is balanced amongst many people, as the founding fathers envisioned. Leftists do whatever they can to ensure that power gets into the hands of fewer and fewer people. And this process is going to keep going on and on and on until absolute power rests into the hands of one man. And Paul calls him the man of lawlessness.
There it is. There it is. And it's all going in that direction. A couple of thoughts. Number one, if 3.5 years ago or so, Hillary Clinton had been the president of the United States of America, we would have a different nation right now. There'd be, who knows, only God knows what would be happening. God, there's some unfinished business right now with the Trump administration. I mean, we're still murdering babies en masse all over the world and in our country. Men are still marrying men. Women are still marrying women. He has put 218 federal judges on the bench. He's put Supreme Court justices. So there's unfinished business, but God's spirit, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, he already sees into, you know, what is next in our country. And I do believe that if he views a bird falling to the ground and a bird doesn't fall, that he is aware of what's going on in this world today. And he knows what's going on in this country. And there has been a reviving within this nation. 3.5 years ago and back, there was a whoa. I mean, there was just nothing. Now, suddenly, Donald J. Trump is the president of the United States. There's been a resurgence, and there's an activity of battle going on in different realms. And God knows what will be. And if he foresees that this unfinished business will never get completed, we have a major problem here. And I wonder if the whole campaign is going to be run on, well, this term we're going to get rid of. We're going to do this, take care of this. We've got a minute left. These are my final thoughts. Daniel, your final thoughts before we go today.
Yeah, there is a lot of unfinished business, and this is why the left are freaking out, because they know that if Trump gets another 4 years, he will do what he can to drain the swamp.
Let's hope so.
And the swamp creatures don't want to be drained. You know, they are. In fact, this is why you're going to see not much has been done in regard to the Justice Department and prosecuting swamp creatures. But I believe that once Trump secures his next 4 years, you'll see a lot more action going on.
All right. Very good. Well, let's hope so. And Daniel, once again, thanks for joining me on the air today. I mean, you're at 3 o'clock in the morning now. Get some rest. God bless you. And I want people to find you out there. So Israel, Islam, and the End Times. They need to discover your writings. You have some incredible informational and actually revelational ideas that you're sharing with people to get them equipped. I want to thank you for doing that. So where do people find you real quick?
DanielSeckham.com. I don't really write all that often there, but my main flagship website is IsraelIslamAndEndTimes.com and CultureWarResource.com.
All right. So Israel, Islam, and End Times. I'm going to put that up right now. Just find that. Israel, Islam, and End Times. Daniel Seckham, we appreciate you, brother. I know you'll be speaking with us real soon back here in America. We'll look forward to your coming once again. And it's like Jesus. He comes and goes. He comes and goes. It's called the parousia, but we'll talk about that. We love you, man. God bless you and have a beautiful evening. And to all of our friends out there tonight, we just want to let you know we're going right now in 1 hour to, it's on the screen right now, KURM Radio. That's www.KURM, K-U-R-M as in Michael, .net. And that will be in 1 hour. That's AM, FM radio and on internet around the world. And we're going to be laying forth some things that God's put in our hearts. To everybody that's been tuned in today on Blog Talk Radio, God bless you. YouTube, Facebook, and Omega Radio. And right now on omegaradio.org, there's a live roundtable discussion, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, being conducted by my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier. I hope you'll get there, and that's going right now. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. Shalom, and God bless everybody.